Do you get frustrated with training that wastes time and money but doesn't change behavior? Yeah, I do too. Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process. Welcome to the show, and today we're talking about making training work, specifically leadership training, but these principles really apply for any kind of training that you're engaged in. So you're a leader, you're looking at getting leadership training for your managers, for your staff, or whatever training people might need. Part of the key to making it work is to engage your leaders and managers in the training itself. So if you're listening to this as a senior leader, think about how to engage yourself and all of your leaders in it. If you're a manager who's either going through training or going to be ensuring that your people are receiving training, a couple ways to think about this. If you're a manager, looking at how you can include your own supervisor in some of these roles, and they may not be aware of them, but you can go back to them, engage them, as well as ask the questions or provide the responses that you would be interested in them asking of you. All right, so what does all that mean? Let's break it down. If you don't want to waste money, time, energy, credibility with training that doesn't change behavior, the training that you're providing, that you're, whether you're partnering with someone, whether you're doing it internally, it's got to be practical, it's got to be focused on your business, and it's got to get results. But how do you make that training work and get a good return on the investment of time, money, and energy that you're putting in? Well, obviously, we do a lot of training. Partner with organizations around the world, and we've seen what works and we've seen what doesn't when it comes to high ROI, getting good return on your training programs. And when it doesn't work, there are three mistakes that you're often going to encounter. The first of these is a lack of executive sponsorship. This is one of the most common problems that we'll see with training initiatives. You have a well-intentioned executive who asks their HR or OD team to find or provide training for a particular issue, but then the executive doesn't engage with the training, doesn't model it, and then soon comes to the conclusion, it was a bad training, or all training is a waste of money. Now, if you are an executive listening to this, please don't make this mistake. If you're having training in your organization, you've got to be behind it. You've got to model it yourself. You have to sponsor it. Otherwise, those poor results are entirely predictable. Everybody's watching you, and if they're getting training, but it's not good enough for you, then why would they do it? This is the core of your culture. Telling everyone it's important, but then ignoring it, it's a guaranteed path to wasted time and money. So whether you're a frontline leader who's getting some training for your folks, or you're the CEO, whoever you are in whatever role you're playing, make sure that you're sponsoring and modeling what it is that's happening. A second mistake that is quite common is outsourcing training to human resources. Now, we work with incredible human resource professionals that ensure their people are equipped to do really good transformative work. But no matter how exceptional your team might be, you can't outsource training to HR and expect it to stick, because your HR team isn't always in the meeting with the clients, following up on the new procedure or watching your leaders coach in a one-on-one. They can ensure the skills are taught, but that's only the beginning. Observation and accountability for how and when people use those skills are critical to make the training stick, and that's something that your leaders and managers, or you as a leader and manager, are responsible for. And then the third common mistake is trying to use training to address systems that are broken. So you don't want to use training to address broken systems. This sabotages training before it begins, because what you're trying to use training as a fix-all for other problems. So a common example is, let's say you've got two department leaders who have competing KPIs that affect their team's compensation. You've got guaranteed conflict there. Each department's leadership team squares off to defend their people and their paychecks. And then the frustrated executives complain that their people can't get along and they need training. Let's get some conflict resolution training in here. There's no amount of communication training that's going to fix that broken system. The leaders might get the message that senior leadership doesn't appreciate their conflict, and they might even keep it quiet for a bit, but the underlying dysfunction's still there, and it's just a matter of time before that blows up, erupts again. All right, so three common mistakes that can sabotage the effectiveness of your training, your leadership training, or any other kind of training, but lack of executive sponsorship, outsourcing that training to human resources, and treating it solely as a human resource responsibility, and then third, using training to address broken systems. So as you're thinking about how to solve some of these problems and how to make training work, how to make sure you're getting the return on the investment that you need, one solution to do all of that, to make it work, address all of these common mistakes, is to incorporate leaders at every level as teachers and sponsors of your training initiative. Now, this doesn't mean that if you're a leader listening to this going, oh no, I don't know how to teach that. I don't always mean literally teaching it, although if you can, that's powerful. Doesn't necessarily mean that every team leader must literally teach every unit. Rather, we're talking about the principle of leaders as teachers. What that means, well, it means several things. First, it means that every leader models, reinforces, and then helps their trainees succeed with the training. So the training participants need to hear their leaders say, this is important. Here's why this matters. Here's why we're doing this. Here's how it works. Then the trainees need to see those words lived out in leaders' daily actions. This is the most critical aspect of leaders as teachers. And if I could ask one thing of any organization, if you want your training to stick, incorporate your leaders this way so that every participant can see their leaders modeling, reinforcing, and helping their participants succeed. Then to go further and ensure success, leaders as teachers principle also means, number two, that the training program has an appropriate level of leadership sponsor who commits to partnering with either your HR or OD team or trainers or an external partner to develop the content. So ensuring that you're in the development of the program, you're doing it together to make sure it's relevant to your people. Third, that leader as teacher, that sponsor either attends the training themselves or if they're already versed in it, commits to modeling those key behaviors and reinforcing them through consistent communication, like a 5x5 communication plan. And number four, those leadership sponsors can look for, highlight, and celebrate successful implementation of trained behaviors. Remembering, you get more of what you encourage and celebrate, less of what you criticize or ignore. So having sponsors model it, using the language, celebrating when they're seeing it, encouraging it, highlighting it. Number five, that leaders facilitate the action learning activities. So a good return on investment includes application. It's not just sterile classroom, but you're applying what it is you're learning in real life scenarios that are business oriented that are going to affect your outcomes. And have your leaders involved in those. Maybe it's debriefing them. Maybe it's actually participating, facilitating. There's a number of ways that leaders can be involved, but to be involved in those action learning activities. And then number six, that the leaders are consistently following up with trainees on what they're learning and how they're using it. So checking in every few weeks. Hey, what'd you learn this month? What'd you learn this week? How are you using that? What's one challenge you have with that? How can I support you in your doing of that? What questions do you have? And incidentally, and I have heard this before, even with incredibly practical training, I've heard leaders say, that's just theory. Don't worry about that. Just do this. And holy cow, if you were doing that or allowing your leaders to do that, you're wasting your time and money. Now, hopefully your partner that you're working with, like we do, is very practically oriented and sharing incredibly useful tools that people can put to use right away. If that's not the case, reevaluate what you're doing and ensure that you're getting that practical content into people's hands. And then ensure that your leaders understand that it's practical, that it's valuable, and that this is the expectation of what success looks like going forward, so we can all get on the same page and do it together. Another idea, number seven, another way to incorporate this principle of leaders as teachers and get the return on your investment is to have leaders facilitate learning discussions. So if you're a manager and your folks are going through learning of some kind, some training, you may not have the skill to teach or train effectively, but you can still facilitate a discussion. You can ask participants about their experiences, how they're using what they've learned. You can share your own insights and about how to make it work in daily practice and in daily activity. And you know, you can kick off a team meeting, 5-10 minutes, have people share what they're learning and facilitate that discussion. So there's you following up individually with people, but then there's as leaders, are you facilitating? Can you facilitate learning discussions to help cement, yeah, this actually matters and here's how we're doing and here's how we use it. And then is closing the loop, number eight, celebrating success and holding your team accountable when there's a lack of follow through. So when training lasts and becomes a sustaining part of the culture, leaders at every level always, they're invariably embracing, using, and expecting others to use the learning. That's what it takes to ensure that your training programs, whether you're providing them internally or partnering with an external partner, that's what it takes to ensure that your training programs get the return, have the impact you want to see. So model it, get involved, facilitate, follow through, celebrate, practice some accountability. Your people will improve, your business will improve, and you're on your way to being the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.